Hello and welcome to the Life Church Podcast. We pray you enjoy this message and are encouraged and inspired.
What we're going to do is that we're going to come around the Word of God, and as we do that, I want to read to you a scripture first, and then I will introduce what I'm going to say. It's a scripture that It goes a little bit beyond when Jesus was raised from the dead. Normally, on Easter Sunday, what would happen is that we would kind of look at the whole resurrection and the ladies going down to the tomb and seeing two angels, and the angels saying, hey, he's not here, he is risen. We're not going to do that this morning. We're going to go a little bit further on in the story because I believe that God wants to speak this morning, and I pray and hope that as I share this morning that you will get something from what we want to say. So if we can put the screen up, it's found in John's Gospel, chapter 20, and it says these words, chapter 20, verses 24 to 28. It says, one of the 12 disciples, Thomas, nicknamed the twin, was not with the others when Jesus came. And they told him, we have seen the Lord. But he replied, I won't believe it unless I see the nail wounds in his hands and put my fingers into them and place my hand into the wound in his side. 8 days later, the disciples were together again. And this time, Thomas was with them. And the doors were locked. But suddenly, as before, Jesus was standing among them. Peace be with you, he said. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here and look at my hands. Put your hand into the wound in my side and don't be faithless any longer. Believe. My Lord, my God, Thomas exclaimed. You know, a couple of years ago, I had the incredible privilege of going to Crete with a group of other ministers. And when we were in Crete, we were there. And if you know me, I'm somebody who, I'm not really a kind of melancholic person. Personality-wise, I'm a sanguine. I'm out there. I'm on the top level of sanguine, really. Do you know what I mean? And that can sometimes be a real issue to people I work with, my family, my friends, in fact, everybody. I was out there in Crete, and while I was out in Crete, a group of ministers were all there, and all these ministers, some of them were slightly older than me, some of them were a little bit younger than me, and I decided that one day when we were in Crete, we were only there for kind of 48 hours, and we had kind of about 4 hours spare before we had to go into another meeting. And I said to the group of ministers that I was with, I said, why don't we go and get some quad bikes, okay? Hire these quad bikes and go out into Crete up the mountains and go and have a look at what's out there. And two of the guys said to me, let's do it. Everybody else kind of said, oh no, we're very happy here. We want to rest, you know what I mean? We're away from our wives, our families, our churches for 48 hours. We're just going to stay here. There was two of the guys that came with me, and one of the guys didn't bring his driving license with him, so he had to come on the back with me. So me and my mate, he was on the back of my quad bike, and my other mate, who had a very, very large head, whose helmet was really ill-fitting, we looked like a little bit like the film Dumber and Dumber, and we went off into the kind of outback of Crete, and Crete is a beautiful country. And we went out there, we went up into the mountains, and we saw things that the other guys hadn't seen. And when we came back, I kind of sat down with the guys, and all the guys were going, oh, Partington, he's off again, you know what I mean? What did you see? And we were able to kind of tell them, and I saw breathtaking views. We went down up to the top of this mountain, and then we came back down, and right along the seafront, there was nobody there. There was little churches on the top of these mountains that we went up, and it was just beautiful. The scenery was breathtaking. But only me, my friend, and my mate who was holding on to me for dear life, who was slightly scared, I think, at one point, could tell the tale about what had happened. And I want to kind of share with you this morning, and the title of my message this morning is this, is The Room Where It Happened. The Room where it happened. We're going to pray. Father God, I thank you. Lord Jesus, I thank you for this morning. I thank you that you left the grandeur of heaven and came to earth, ultimately to die so that we could ultimately spend eternity with you. And Father, I pray for the few moments we have together this morning, that God, that you will communicate your word, that Father, as your word is spoken, that it won't return void, but it always goes out and accomplishes what it set out to do. And Father, I pray that it will speak to people's hearts this morning, that God, that we will go out of here different to what we came in as a direct result of having met with each other and ultimately meeting with you. So Father, we pray, bless us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen and amen. The room where it happened. So here we have the story I've just spoken about Thomas and the disciples come in. And if we can put that scripture back up for me for a sec, Sue. The first part of the scripture in verse 24, it says these words, one of the 12 disciples, Thomas, nicknamed the twin, was not with the others when Jesus came. They told him, we have seen the Lord. It doesn't tell us why Thomas wasn't with the other disciples. You see, at that point, there was only 11 of them because Judas Iscariot had already, as we found out on Friday with Luke's incredible, brilliant preach, about that he'd given over the value of Jesus was 30 pieces of silver, and Judas was now dead. And these 10 disciples, not including Thomas, had seen Jesus. It doesn't say why Thomas wasn't there. It doesn't say whether he was ill. It doesn't say whether he was busy doing something else. But he wasn't with the guys that he'd spent his time with. And all of a sudden, we have this incredible picture of these 10 men who had spent 3 years with Jesus, watching Jesus in close proximity, watching him do the things that he was doing, healing people, loving the unloved, doing things that were crazy during the day. And all of a sudden, they come back into the room and they speak to Thomas and they say, we have seen the Lord. You see, the power of being in the room actually can determine the destiny of your life. The power of being in the room can determine the destiny of your life. And Thomas was not in the room. When Jesus appeared to these 10 men, Thomas was nowhere to be seen. And I want to say this to you this morning, is that I believe that you are here this morning not by accident. You are here this morning, I believe maybe you've come by an invite. Maybe you've come because somebody has brought you to church. But I believe that actually that everything the Bible says works out for good for those that are called according to his purposes. And I believe that every person in this room has been called by God. It's no accident that you're here this morning. I believe so. I don't necessarily believe in luck, but I do believe in God-appointed times. And you are here this morning. He's by his very absence of not being in the room, he had missed seeing Jesus. By his absence of not being where he should have been, he missed the experience of seeing Jesus. And you see, so often in our lives, we miss an experience or we miss something because we're too busy doing something else. Let me tell you, I'm so happy that in the busyness of life and in the busyness of our schedules that we have made time this morning to come to church. Whether you necessarily believe in God or you don't believe in God, let me tell you, you're here and you're in the room. You see, you're going to be able to leave this place this morning and you're going to be able to tell people, I went to Life Church this morning. And some people might go, really? What'd you go there for? Well, we experienced something. Even if you don't experience something of God, actually, you've watched some incredibly talented people sing a song to you. And you've kind of listened, maybe, to a lad who looks slightly like Harry Hill, I know. Talk to you for a few moments about Jesus. But so there's an experience that you are having this morning. Why? Because you're in a room actually where something is happening. And so often in life, we miss the experiences that I believe that are out there for us, the purposes and the plans that are out there for us. Why? Because sometimes we get caught up doing things that are really not that good. And Thomas wasn't in the room where he should have been with the rest of the disciples. Something happens. Because presence actually created something so they could see the risen Lord. You have to be in the room. You have to be present to be able to experience things. Something that Rachel says to me a lot, and something that I have to watch constantly, is this thing. Because you can be in a room and not be present. You can be in the room without being present. You know, so often me and Rachel were even talking yesterday, and she said to me, she says, you can be in the room, she says, but you're not listening to me. How many people can identify with that? Yeah. You about me, yeah. Yeah, no, shut up, all of you. If you know me. But we can be so caught up in actually watching things or looking at things that are in the past that we are not living in the present. Every time you look at an Instagram story, every time you look at a Facebook post, every time you look at a Twitter feed, let me tell you this, or a Snapchat or whatever, let me tell you, you are always looking at the past. You're not looking at the here and now, you're looking at something that has already been. You're not looking at the present, you are looking at something that may have just happened a couple of seconds ago, but it's still in the past. And I believe that God wants to call each one of us so we don't live in the past. We can definitely not live in the future, but we can live in the present. We can be here now. And Thomas wasn't where he should have been, and he missed out on an experience of seeing who Jesus was, and he could only go on what had been told. Why? Because he wasn't there. The second thing is this, is that not only do we need to be in the room, but lost faith produces fear. Lost faith produces fear. I don't know about you, but sometimes in our lives, we can go through times where we lose faith in people. I don't know about you, but maybe a family member or maybe a church leadership or a friend, and something happens and we lose faith. And it can produce something within us that scares us almost of repeating it because we don't want to be hurt in that same way again. And because Thomas wasn't in the room, it goes on to say this. It says, I won't believe unless I see the nail wounds in his hands and put my fingers in them and place my hand in the wound in his side. Now, being totally irreverent for a second, I would not want to do that for all the tea in China. It isn't something that would really, appease me or make me happy if a guy came into the room after being stabbed or whatever, or crucified on a cross, and me going, actually, I won't believe that that happened. I won't believe that until I put my fingers in the hole. That's what Thomas was saying. And it produced something in Thomas where everybody else was saying, hey, it's happened. They were so excited. But Thomas said, I can't believe it. This is the same Thomas that had walked with Jesus for 3 years. This is the same Thomas that had been with God, with Jesus when he raised Lazarus from the dead. This was the same Jesus, this same Thomas that saw Jesus when he fed the 5,000. This was the same Thomas who watched Jesus love the unloved, where he placed his hands on the leper and they were healed. This was the guy who had slept next to, been with, ate with, done life with Jesus. And now, after him believing and knowing that he is the Son of God, something happens within him and faith is lost and fear is created. How often in our lives do we miss something and faith is no longer the main thing in our lives, but it becomes about fear. One of the biggest debilitating, thank you. One of the most, yeah, things that happen in people's lives, listen to me, is where fear grips a man's or lady's heart. I've seen it happen so many times, particularly in church life, where something happens and faith is lost and fear is created. And their lives are based around fear. You know, when I was younger, I wasn't too kind of keen on the dark. And I remember my father, who is a minister, and we had a church in Liverpool, and we had this huge building, huge. It was four stories high. It was 90,000 square foot. It was a massive building, huge church. And we were there, and I remember on a Friday, I used to go from school, and I had the keys, because by the time I got there, the church was locked up. And I would have to go and open the church on my own. I was probably 14 or 15 at the time. And you hear things when you're on your own that you don't hear when you're with people. Do you understand what I mean? And creaks and kind of noises that would never normally bother you if you're with somebody, all of a sudden really, really bother you. And I remember what I used to do is I used to go down to the church, and I had a set of keys. And what I would do is that I would kind of get the youth room ready for youth that would happen on a Friday night. And the youth room was in the basement of this building. And this building was huge, and the basement was cold, and it was dark, and I did not like going down there. And all of a sudden, all the things that I would kind of, you know, talk to people about, and all the sermons that I'd heard in the years before about, oh, you know, you are more than a conqueror and God's with you wherever you go, all faded into insignificance. I didn't care about what the preacher had said. I was absolutely scared stiff of the dark. And fear gripped my heart. And I used to remember, I used to run around trying to find the light switches really, really quickly. Why? Because I didn't want to be in the dark. And so often, let me tell you, is that as in our human lives, what happens is this, is that we walk around in the dark not knowing that there is a light that can come and can actually illuminate all the dark places in our hearts where we find fear. And actually, Jesus this morning, let me tell you, is a light that shines brighter than anything that you could ever, ever think or imagine. And I know there's so many people in this room this morning that have experienced something of the light of Jesus that comes into their room. But they have to be in the room to experience the light. The room where it happened. The room where it happened. I don't know about you, whether you are a Christian here this morning or whether you have never given your life to Jesus. Let me tell you, is that don't let fear rob you of your faith in a God that already believes in you. Don't let fear rob you of actually believing in God, because he looks down from heaven and he sees you for who you are. You know what? Some of you here this morning say, well, do you know what? God could never, ever love me. The things that I've done that you don't know about, God could never, ever love me. Let me tell you, he loves you so much that 2 days ago he died on a cross for you. And this morning that we can celebrate on this Easter Resurrection Sunday, that actually that the God of heaven, who came to earth as Jesus, who died on a cross, is now risen from the dead. He has conquered the grave. He has conquered death. He has conquered fear. He has conquered hopelessness. He has conquered everything that you think that you could never, ever give over to God. He's done it. And there are people in this room this morning that have experienced something of the power of God in their lives, in hopeless situations where God's broken in, and they've seen purpose and they've seen the power of God alive. Faith lost produces fear. The next thing is this, is that in verse 26, if we can just move it on, it says this, 8 days later, the disciples were together again, and this time Thomas was with them. The next thing is this, is that time keeps going. Time doesn't stop. I know sometimes we'd like it to stop. I know sometimes we'd like to rewind the clock, but it just keeps going. A depressing thought for a second, when you leave here today, you're going to just be a little bit older. When you leave here today, you're not going to be able to get back the moment that you've had in this room today. It'll have gone. And time keeps going. The Bible talks about is that we must buy up the time, seize every opportunity that we get. And so often we miss out on stuff because we let time go by. Maybe an attitude, maybe something that happens in our lives and we think, do you know what? Well, I can never ever get that back. Well, you can't get it back. And you can't even replicate what's happened. You know, so often in church life, we try and replicate what we did the week before. You can't do it. It's gone. That's why the Bible says that his mercies are new every morning. That there's something greater and fresher in God every single day. And this time, Thomas doesn't miss his opportunity. And he's with the 10 other brothers that he's done life with for 3 years. And he's there, and it says 8 days later. That means that Jesus appeared to them, then he disappeared. Where did he go? I don't know. But he wasn't around for 8 days. He didn't appear again for 8 days. And then they are together in an upstairs locked room. And Jesus appears. 8 days later, 192 hours, 11,520 minutes, 691,200 seconds, 8 days. You're going to say, how did you know that? I Googled it. So it better be right. But there was a period in time, and Thomas decided, I need to be with my brothers. And he stayed with them. And the doors were locked. But suddenly, as before, Jesus was standing among them. You know, God is the God of the second chance. Did you know that? If you're here this morning and you've messed up, and you think, do you know what? I can never, ever go back to God. Why? Because I've done so many bad things. Let me tell you, God always is the God of the second chance. You see, because it says here that the doors were locked, but suddenly, as before, Jesus appeared again for a second time. And Thomas was with them. And the first thing he says, peace be with you. You see, when you encounter Jesus, all fear is dispelled. And he brings peace. Everything that we think, every agitation, every worry, everything is dispelled when we enter into the presence of Jesus. And Jesus calms the situation straight away by saying, peace be with you. Now, interestingly, let's just have a look at this for a second. Is that if I was in a locked room and all of a sudden a guy who I'd watched die, and then my friends tell me is now alive, and then he is standing before me in a room, I would be a little bit worried. But Jesus says, peace be with you. You know, it's interesting that it says that it was a locked door. How did Jesus get in if it was a locked door? I want to read something to you that's found in John chapter 1, verse 14. And in the Amplified version of the Bible, it says these words. And the Word, Christ, became flesh and lived amongst us. And we actually saw his glory. Glory as belongs to the one and only begotten Son of the Father. The Son, Jesus, who is truly unique, the only one of his kind, who is full of grace and truth, and absolutely free of deception. And the Word became flesh. You see, there was something about Jesus where he became flesh, but before he was flesh, he wasn't flesh. Now you're going to go, well, what does that mean? I'm going to give you a little bit of a lesson for a second. Is that Jesus was still alive before he came to the earth. Did you know that? He was part of the Godhead, He is part of the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But he wasn't flesh. And I believe that Jesus once again became flesh when he entered the room. And he entered into the room and the first thing he says is, "Peace be with you." Dispelling all fear, dispelling all hopelessness, dispelling everything, and he looks at Thomas. He doesn't even greet anybody else. He doesn't speak to anybody else. And he straight away looks at Thomas because he knows what Thomas was thinking. He knows what Thomas had already said. And he says, "Hey, Thomas, come and stick your finger in my wounds. Come and put your hand in my side." And at that moment, revelation appears. Revelation came in an instant. You know, sometimes seeing really is believing. In our human form, there is nothing greater than actually seeing God move in somebody's life. And in that one moment, Thomas says these words, "My Lord and my God." Why? Because there was a revelation that came after he'd seen Jesus. Why? Because ultimately, he was in the room. He was in the right place at the right time with the right people. And I don't know about you, but I believe that you being here this morning, you are in the right place at the right time with the right people. I don't know whether you've been to church before or you've never been, but let me tell you this, in this moment right now, you're in the right place at the right time with the right people. And I believe that at any given moment, revelation can happen where you don't see me or you don't see the band, but you actually recognize actually that, yeah, Jesus is out there and he loves you for who you are. I want everyone to bow their heads and close their eyes for a second. Johnny, if you can come up for me. You see, I totally believe that this morning, that whether you are with Christ this morning and you're a Christian, or whether you're totally away from God and you don't even know who God is, or maybe you've never really given your life to God, or you don't even know if he's out there, let me tell you, I know he loves you. I know he loves you for who you are. You see, so often we think that we have to try and be something to earn God's approval. So often we think that we have to do something in order for God to love us. My Bible never ever states that. The Bible talks about actually that whether you do great works or whether you feel that you've messed up, let me tell you, he still loves you unconditionally. And he loves you for who you are. Psalm 139. Most of the Psalms in the Bible were written by a guy by the name of David. And David had messed up royally so many times. He'd done so many stupid things, but the Bible talks about David having a heart after God. And in Psalm 139, it says these words. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. And you know everything I do and you know what I'm going to say even before I say it. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body. And you knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is too marvelous, how well I know it. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God? They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake up, you are still with me. You see, God knows you this morning. He knows when you speak. He knows when you go out. He knows when you come in. He knows when you rise from your bed and when you go to bed at night. He knows every thought that you have. And even though Thomas wasn't in the right place and he wasn't in the place where it happened, and he had to actually go on the account of his mates. And even when his mates told him who Jesus was, he said, I can't believe it. He had to be in the room to be able to see who Jesus was. And this morning, each one of us are in the room. And he knows you. And with every head bowed and every eye closed, maybe this morning, you're somebody who has never ever given their lives to Jesus. You've never said, hey, God, if you're out there, come into my life. I believe that this morning, that you can have an experience of God because you've positioned yourself for God to be able to do what only He can do. You're in the room. Or maybe you're away from God this morning, you're not in the place you should be. And on this Easter Sunday, once again, you recognize who Jesus is and you say, God, yeah, I've messed up. Yeah, I've let fear get in the way. Yeah, my faith has been impacted, maybe because of something somebody has said or maybe something somebody has done. But this morning you're saying, do you know what? I'm going to give you a shot in my life again, God. Not because of the people, but because of my faith in you. And if that's you, I want you to do something for me on this Easter Sunday. If you're saying yes to Jesus for the first time, or maybe you want to say yes to Jesus again, and you say, yeah, God, if you're out there, I want you to come into my life. I'm tired of being fearful. But this morning, through song, through listening to people, I recognize that you are Lord and you are God. I don't get everything about you, but I do believe that you're out there. If that's you, on the count of three, I want you to raise your hand in the air and put it down again. I will see it and I will pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass anybody, but I do want to make this call this morning. So if that's you, on the count of three, raise your hand. 1, 2, 3. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Keep your hands in the air for me for a second. Lord Jesus, we pray. I want everybody to say this prayer with me. And if you've raised your hand this morning, I want you to say it as well and mean it from your heart. And it says this: Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying on the cross for me. I don't deserve your love, but I receive your love. I don't deserve your peace, but I receive your peace. I thank you for everything that you've done. I give my life over to you this morning. I receive you, Lord Jesus, as my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Just keep your heads bowed for a second because I want to do something. And this morning, before we came to church, there was a huge terror attack that happened in Sri Lanka where hundreds of people have been killed and even more have been hurt and affected by what has happened. You see, I don't know why seemingly bad things happen to good people. I don't understand it. I don't get it. But I do believe in a God that loves people. It's the upside down kingdom. So Father, we pray this morning for each and every family that has been affected by what has happened in Sri Lanka this morning, oh God. That Father, we can't necessarily be there, but your word commands us to pray. So Father, we pray this morning for the country of Sri Lanka. We pray for the Christians of Sri Lanka. We pray for everybody affected by what has happened this morning, and we say, God be with them. God, will you bring, as you brought to Thomas, your peace, O God. And that, Father, that people whose hearts are hard towards you, O God, will be melted by the love of people. And that, Father, that at this Easter time, that you will be there for those people. God, we don't necessarily understand why these things happen. But God, we do recognize your lordship. And Father, we speak your peace. Father, we speak your hope. Father, we speak your love. In Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said amen. And amen.
We hope you enjoyed this week's message. For more information about Life Church, head to mylifechurch.co.uk.